This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to FUBAR Radio. My name is James Acaster. With me is Rob Deering, and later on we'll put our iPods on shuffle. Happy in Bits by Prince Horn Dance School on FUBAR Radio. My name's James Acaster. Welcome to the show. With me is Rob Deering. We're going to speak to Rob in a little bit. Me and Rob are going to put our iPods on shuffle. I think... Rob, say hello.
Hi.
Hold on, Rob. No, say hello now.
Hi.
Rob's mic's on.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't heard the show before, we've only done one episode, I don't know how to work the desk.
I'm getting button terror off you. It's like a terror of buttons.
I basically tell you to speak and then don't turn the mic on, which is very unprofessional.
Yeah.
We're comics, both of us, so we've dealt with poor sound men before.
And we're supposed to have mic technique as well.
You know,
that is part of our job.
Supposed to know these things. Worst thing a sound guy can say at a gig? When you're a musical comic, you've got a guitar and pedals and everything, and you're doing sound checks. What's the thing you least like? When I was in a band, I hated it when people would go, once people are in here... fill up, it'll be different, sound different.
No, the two worst things for me, exactly, but the worst thing for me is when it doesn't work and the sound guy starts looking at my stuff. I just always have said, well, my stuff works.
Yep.
Yeah, stuff I brought with me that I use every day, that's the stuff that works.
Yep.
Because don't start checking that, don't start there. And the other one is when it's bad and you look at the sound person and they're just looking back at you with a big sort of serene look on their face and says, yeah, something's wrong, isn't it? So yeah, that's your problem. Same way when you see a bouncer kind of watching a fight.
Yep.
I think, this is you now. This is your own.
Does someone need to tag you in?
What are you waiting for now? An email? This is it. This is like, you know, if you're in a fire station, there'd be a bell ringing.
Yeah. There would be a bell. They don't sit around, do they, when the bell rings?
No, looking up, what's that?
Who's that? Where's that coming from? Someone fix that bell.
Why the heck has that noise come along?
We've got your iPod here, Rob.
It's a small and ridiculous iPod.
It's a little one. Is it actually called an iPod Shuffle, this?
Yeah, but it's an old generation of iPod Shuffle as well. It's my running iPod.
Yeah?
That's covered a lot of miles.
A lot of mileage from this iPod.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It's dwarfed next to my big old, iPod, mate.
I'm not uncomfortable with your big one sitting next to my little old one.
How many songs you got on this?
150, something like that.
So it narrows it down to... What's the ratio of embarrassing songs to cool songs?
Well, you see, to me, they're all wonderful in their own way.
Rightfully so.
There's, you know, something's going to come up that's going to make me look a bit of a... But, you know, it's all context, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's subjective. There'll be some people at home, when that embarrassing one comes up, thinking, finally, this song's on the radio.
Yeah, thank goodness for N Song.
But we'll start with
not
mine.
Not NSYNC, by the way. It sounded like it was...
NSYNC, but now NSYNC are going to come up on your iPod and you're going to go, when I said earlier on not NSYNC...
Yeah.
I went... Because you are lying. I know that NSYNC's on here.
Well,
must be.
I couldn't possibly say.
I can't even name one NSYNC song, I think.
Well, I know Justin Timberlake was in NSYNC.
Yeah. They had a video where they were all puppets, marionette puppets. But I don't know.
They had a song that went... I can't think what it was, though, but it had that kind of... Yeah, but I can't. That's all I've got at the moment.
I've got that on my iPod. It's not that NSYNC, it's just you making
just
that
me
noise.
Just me going... like trying to remember a duck noise.
Yeah,
okay. By me.
Rob Deering sings the classics of NSYNC on my iPod.
You're going to play something off your iPod now?
I will. I'll stick my neck out first.
Why not?
Haven't got... Basically, we've done one show. This is the second one. I didn't come across very well last time. My songs were very depressing, really dirgy and depressing is what my iPod threw up last week, and Limbit Opic looked better, cooler than me, which I'll never live down. So let's see what the first one is this week on my wonderful big iPod. John Bryan, Over Our Heads on FUBAR Radio. I just said before that my iPod threw up a lot of depressing stuff last week, and that I hoped it wasn't going to do it this week. And the first song it does is a song where he says, "So what you never understood, big deal, you're doomed to die immediately from the start." And it's about how we'll never understand life, we'll never get our heads around it.
No one ever knows or loves another. We live as we dream alone.
Yeah,
Conradian concepts, the like of which that on a cold day like today might... make us end it all.
It might push someone over the edge. That I mean,
in a whimsical way, you know, it was quite light. It wasn't really. It was pretty depressing.
It was pretty depressing. Do you subscribe to that philosophy? Yeah, what was your life philosophy, Rob?
Well, this is funny. I was reading recently. Have you read The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt?
No.
Okay, good book. Yeah. Cracking yarn, but the ultimate sort of perspective of the main character is similar to that of some of the best Flaming Lips, some of the best John Lennon, which is basically there is nothing, you know, there's no afterlife, there's no point to anything.
Yeah.
But having said that, let's love each other and enjoy this moment because this is all we have.
Very nice.
I think that's my philosophy. But the only thing I don't share with all those people I mentioned, including the guy in the book, is that I haven't come to that conclusion after taking loads of heroin. So, you know, I've cut out, you know, that, so that's slightly worrying. That is,
you managed to sidestep. But, you know, I mean, the heroin stuff surely has its ups and downs, but, you know.
I've heard that. The upsides and downsides to the horse.
You sidestep that.
But, you know, some it's a good perspective.
Some natural. That song, actually, that we just played is from a soundtrack. That is from I Heart Huckabees.
I was just going to say, when listening to it, I thought it was Christmas again and I was going to head down to John Lewis. It's got quite that, you know, it's got a little kind of, except for the lyrical.
Yeah. Instead, the lyrics
you should have a film of like a snowman or a penguin or a cuddly toy going into John Lewis, but then just giving up on life and walking into the sea,
thinking, "What's the point?"
Yeah, that's right.
Why would I buy?
I want to give my snow girlfriend, stroke friend, bear, stroke little toy. No, forget it. What's the point?
I don't need this juicer. I don't need any of this. It's not going to solve anything.
No one needs a juicer. That's the point.
Have you seen I Heart Huckabees? Have you seen that film?
I haven't seen it. I know of it. I know
it's
what
right.
it is. I haven't seen it.
It's all right. It's David O. Russell.
Yeah.
So The Fighter and The Fighter's good. That's my favourite one. And then American Hustle, which a lot of people hated and got very angry about. But any favourite soundtracks for you? Any films?
Soundtracks. Well, I was listening today. I was listening to some. I heard the theme from Bullet. Just Lalo Schifrin. Lalo Schifrin is a bit sort of old school, sort of, even in terms of looking back at it, it's a bit 90s, a bit sort of, what was it called, Cult Fiction, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Makes you forget how actually excellent that stuff is.
Yeah.
You know, it's so amazing and so exciting. Oh. Lalo Schifrin, the theme from Bullet, I showed my son the car chase from Bullet the other day.
Yeah. What is the storyline of Bullet?
Well, first of all, the most terrible idea is that the main character in the book, he just hasn't got a name.
Yeah.
In the film, he's called Frank Bullet. He's Mr. Bullet.
Great.
Mr. And he is a workaday policeman. You know, he's not a maverick. He's kind of a maverick, but he's really just a sort of jobbing policeman. He wishes he could get home and have a shower. And he's pursuing this case. And, you know, it goes right to the top.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. But it's supposed to be this fairly naturalistic thing. Mm. But to make it sound more exciting, they did change his name to, and then had Steve McQueen playing him. So I think if you wrote the book, you know, it's a bit like watching, what's the comic strip film about the strike that ends up starring Al Pacino? Strike, it's called.
It's called Strike.
Stars Al Pacino as Arthur Scargill. You know, there's an element of that. That is, if they changed Arthur Scargill's name to Arthur Angry,
Strike.
Cool, strikey. Frank Bullet.
Yeah, Frank
Bullet.
B-U-L-L-I-T. Oh, that's more believable.
Yeah, I mean, the Bullet family lineage. I mean, if you study heraldry, you know that they related to the Gascons in France. I'm lying. It's not. There's no.
But
there's
no one
in the world called Bullet.
You played your son the Bullet soundtrack. How was your son?
He's coming up 10.
Nice.
And I showed him the car chase.
Right.
Which is, you know, it is a quintessential car chase, but it's also incredibly, it flirts with boring. No, I won't say boring, it's linear now.
Yeah.
Because there's been so many car chases since that see a car chase that's just really two cars chasing each other along roads.
Yep.
That's really, wow, that's pretty
actually
much all that happens.
But does that pull you in more?
Well, it's good. It's really good. It's exciting. It starts with the twist because he's being tailed and he shakes them off and turns up behind them.
Okay,
so
the
high point really is when he appears in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is how real it is. You can see they've actually done it. And it's on hills because it's in San Francisco.
Right.
And Steve McQueen's often actually driving in the car.
Did they go down the crookedest street? Did they chase down there?
Down there. And then all the bits where the crossroads are flat but the ones going down. So you get to, they jump.
Brilliant.
But, you know, you've seen it done more ridiculously since.
Yep.
Because they started it.
They were the first. The car chase at the start of the Everglades, that's my favourite. We're going to play your iPod now.
Yeah, have you got it turned on?
Here we, is it you got to turn it on, special little button?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a ridiculous little thing.
What I'm doing is turning on his iPod.
It should work now.
We're about to play it. Feeling good? How are you feeling?
I'm looking forward to it, whatever it is.
Intense? Okay, here we go. Rob Deering's iPod, track one. Rush. On FUBAR Radio, live from Rob Deering's iPod.
Yeah.
Happy with that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about the incredible... You got so much... Not just air guitar, air bass, air drums from me there.
Everything. You were doing very good air bass. I think the air bass was the most accurate.
Yeah,
I was looking
yeah.
at that thinking he knows exactly where he is there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's all about that. I love a bit of Rush. I do love Rush. And that's great yeah. running music, but I will have lost, you know, loads of people despise Rush. So
really, do they?
Yeah, I think that's my card on the table.
Have you come up against that a lot in your
Rush
life?
Resistance?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get quite a lot of it in my own house. but then I'm a bit of a, I try not to be, but I am a bit of a Rush evangelist, you know, so
right,
I'm doing it again, look.
Stopping
playing Rush and
street.
Talking about how good it is. Like, oh, shut up about Rush.
How long have you been into Rush for?
Since my brother got into them, which in turn would be about 1981, sort of around the time Tom Sawyer came out.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I
like
Tom
to think,
Sawyer.
Yeah, you see, good. That's.
I've got a jazz version of Tom Sawyer on my iPod. Maybe that'll get thrown up.
Oh, that would be good. My most negative emotion is realising that this iPod is quite likely to have a fair amount of Rush.
Yeah.
I think another Rush song would be bad. Another Rush song after that would be really bad.
I don't know if it would. I think it'd be really great if all your iPod plays is Rush for this whole episode.
Well, that's not beyond the realms of possibility.
This particular episode is just loads of Rush from your iPod.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So are they, would you call them a favourite of your favourite band?
Yeah, they've always been with me.
Or do you not have favourite bands?
I'm very esoteric.
Right.
I'm all over it. Do I mean esoteric or do I mean eclectic? I mean eclectic.
SEO trot. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I'm a backwards tortoise. did you watch that?
No, I didn't watch it at Christmas.
I liked it a lot.
I heard it was good. Did you watch it with your kids?
Yeah, and they filmed it at the Mildmay Club in Newton Green, where I live, which is so we saw Dustin and Judy's trailers were parked outside our house.
Oh, lovely.
And my family saw Dustin in the street. I still thought it was going to be rubbish because it was Christmas and it's a family thing. And
yeah.
I just thought it might be a little bit kind of... But I thought it was lovely.
Yeah.
It was really good.
What was his character's name?
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
He played Mr...
Bullet.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Tortoise. No, he plays something like something Mr. Lovely or Mr. Mr.
That,
Ploppy.
That is just as bad, isn't it? As
Mr. Yeah, it Bullet. Is. It's just like, what is this? Oh, no, I should have been able to answer.
Mr. Lovely would be a great
He's
name.
Called something like that. Mr. Popkins. It's not Mr. Popkins. That's from Rick Reeves. Mr. Popkins and his lovey-dovey donuts. I'll get back to you on that.
Cool. But so, yeah, favourite band. Have you seen Rush live?
I've seen them live several times.
God,
it doesn't. Yeah, it's
are they still touring?
Yeah, well, they're kind of in a third phase.
Okay,
because they almost went away and then they came back. And I saw them on their 30th anniversary tour, and they were galvanised. They were galvanised by tragedy. We don't want to get into that, really.
Really?
Basically, I think they were to a certain extent winding it down.
Yeah,
certainly not having more trouble finding a new direction. But then Neil Peart, their amazing drummer, I think his family died in an accident or something awful like that.
Oh,
and he said, look, all I want to do now is be in the band.
Mm.
And so they put together the 30th anniversary tour and then they started sounding really fresh and young and wow. great. And they've had a couple more albums out. I've seen them since then and they were even better. They were less accessible, but more kind of in charge of what they were doing. And they played the whole of Moving Pictures. In order, and it was fantastic. And that's an album from best part of 40 years ago now. And they played it. I was thinking, oh, is it sad them doing it again? But they were just on it. See, I'm a Rush evangelist.
But I'm a big fan of bands doing a whole album live, like just playing an album through and going to see like that album. I think it's very special. I've only had it with I've said about this on the last one, but I've only had it with Graceland. I went to see Paul Simon do all
of
Graceland.
Yeah, but that'd be great. That's fantastic.
So great.
And particularly when a bit of time has passed, because it's a way of, because it's obviously you only get it with classic albums, but you're taking for granted a bit.
Yeah.
So then you see it live and you also see that story of an album, which in itself as a kind of, I don't know, as a cultural thing, is dying off because we listen to songs one by one, quite rightly. But, you know, when I was in bands, first of all, as a teenager, I daydream about the shape of the album before I had any songs.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a big one, and then there's going to be like the single, and then there'll be quite a big one to finish the first side, and then there's going to be a big banging fast one to start the second side, and then a huge epic sad song penultimate, and then something little, and so, you know, and you think about this stuff all day.
I always thought that the last track had to be acoustic. I always thought that's what had to happen, and that somewhere in the album there had to be like a less than a minute, a really fast song.
Yeah,
it was just like really punky. I thought that was like a
I
must.
Don't think you were wrong. But then now you just think any album, like even the best albums ever, has to have one or two songs that are rubbish.
Yeah, just
and you wonder if the band knew it at the time. You know, I mean, I don't want to cite any and offend anyone, but I know, you know, OK Computer.
Yeah.
Some of the great albums of you know of the last however many decades, and there's two tracks on there I don't want to listen to.
Yeah, yeah,
because they're rubbish.
Yeah, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Yeah,
really carries me until it gets to I think Why Don't You Write Me? And then I'm like, what is this on here for?
Yeah,
why are you suddenly doing?
Yeah, there's what's weird. The one on The Queen Is Dead? When you walk without, I never had no one ever.
Oh yeah,
that's terrible. Yeah. Shut up, you know. And then it's this brilliant album that you're absolutely loving. Yeah. So yeah, if you do see those bands play all of that album.
Yeah.
You know when you're going to be able to go to the loo and go and buy
it. I do Never Had No One Ever. I go to the toilet. Sounds like a band doing a mic take of a Smith song.
Yeah, that's right. Let's do a rubbish Smith song, only slower than that, with loads of synths on it. What happened with the Smiths and synths? That's a whole other story.
Let's switching back over to my iPod now and seeing if I probably won't be able to top Rush. I've already kind of resign myself to that. I'm
just
to say
something upbeat, something that's really going to lift our mood like the last one did.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get ready for some happy time again. It's Sunday. It's my iPod. Let's see. Death of the Journalist, Scroobius Pip there on FUBAR. What a lovely young man Scroobius Pip is, don't you agree, Rob?
Yeah, well, I don't know, he seemed cross.
He did seem cross about journalism. And you got any opinions about journalism yourself? You pro, anti?
Well, I think that there's no truth, is there? That's the trouble with journalism. I'm so cynical about the story they tell.
Yeah.
You know, for example, in recent days, there's been a lot of non-news stories like, I don't know, what's the name, Kim Sears T-shirt?
What's that?
Well, it's...
I don't know. Because sometimes those kind of stories, it's about, like, when Lenny Kravitz wore the big scarf.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, I mean, because internet,
I liked that.
Internet memes, that's news. That's how news should be. And it goes around the world. I mean, the original one for me was Fenton, you know, dog chasing the deer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I saw that and laughed at it on the internet at about, it was before the kids went to school, so it was about 25 to 9.
Yeah.
And it happened at 10 past 7. Like, it actually was live. So it went around the world and got to me in less than an hour and a half. And then by the end of the day, it's been spoofed to the point where you wouldn't be able to work out what the original story was and that's journalism. But you know, when there's stuff going on like all the you know, people negotiating the terrible business with talking to journalism, the Japanese journalist and ISIS and all that, and then the only thing people can talk about is what Andy Murray's girlfriend's wearing at the tennis, you just think, really try and focus. I think that it's a sort of obvious thing, but I think 24-hour rolling news is very unhealthy for news because we become very desensitized to it, and they have to get excited about it and go blah, blah, blah,
yep.
blah. And the other thing in the news today is more education rubbish, and I got angry about that. Yeah, so short answer is it makes me angry. Get angry.
I mean, obviously you're a comic, you've been interviewed by people, by journalists.
Yeah.
What is there a question that you get a lot that you just not, because I get asked a lot about Kettering.
Yeah.
So I'm from there.
Yeah.
And how I have my Weetabix.
The Weetabix comes up, does it?
Yeah. Because it's my own fault for doing material about it.
Yeah.
But then they'll go, you're like, oh, how do you eat your Weetabix then if you're going to... And I'm like, milk and sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
And then people read that then and go, great, I'm really glad I know.
Do you know, I really hope this story isn't apocryphal. I heard, I said, you know, things... Because stories go onto the kind of database about you.
Yeah.
And Ricky Gervais said, do you hear this? Ricky Gervais said that people still ask him, they say to him, how are the twins?
Right.
He hasn't got twins. I don't mind. Got twins, and he found out after a while. He worked out what it was. It's that it was years ago, and then we had like a sort of bullet point interview, and he did a joke. And he said, "If you were in a burning house, what would you save?" And he said, "You can save three things." And he said something like, "Oh, I've got this signed photo of so-and-so, and my thingamajig trophy, and one of the twins.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
That basic lack of understanding of that joke has led to people thinking he's got twins.
That's it, now he's got
twins. It tells a story, doesn't it?
Have you had any... So what's the worst... Have you had like a really bad interview before? Like one that's just like...
No, I had a brilliantly embarrassing one when I was like a youth theatre director as a teenager.
And hold it was very on, flattering. Hold on a second.
Yeah, there it is.
Hold on, I didn't know you were a youth theatre director.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to... Before I did comedy, I did drama, and that is not cool. I mean, you know, not being cool is the bane of my life. But right. So, yeah, this is, you know, that's what I used to do as a youth and then as a young professional.
What productions did you direct?
Well, I starred in the show called Musical.
Right, yeah.
I wrote the score for a musical called On Goblin Rock.
Oh, right.
I directed, wrote and produced the musical Where is Nellop's Sister? I provided the score for shows The Prince, the Lady and the Travelling Players and Nursery Crime, some originals, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. What was the Nellop's Sister one?
Where is Nellop's Sister? It's proper. If you read that script now, it's embarrassing. But I was trying to create something for the people I knew. So it was like, it was an adventure where these people, these sort of faux innocents went off into this alternative universe.
Right, okay.
And it was...
Are they looking for Nellop's sister?
They were looking for Nellop's sister. They were called Bolly, Minnie, Nellop and Tom. And they were under threat of being split up and sent off to school.
Yeah, yeah.
So they went looking for Nellop's sister. And Nellop's sister had gone to another world, so they followed her there. Oh, it was as bad as it sounds.
It is as good as it sounds.
So many
mate,
good people
brilliant.
Were involved in it and committed to that project because I asked them to.
Nellop. Is Nellop a name or did you make that up?
I thought I made it up, but when you think about it, I think it's short for Penelope.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there was also a character called Bolly, and I made that up.
You definitely made that up.
There were some good songs in Where is Nellop's Sister. What a shame my guitar
wasn't here today. Can you remember what some of the songs were called?
Well, there was the introduction one was there. We went, Bolly, Minnie, Nellop and Tom. Yeah, big chords. It was good.
Yeah. Bolly, Millie, Nellop and Tom.
Yeah.
And now those are the names of your children, is that correct?
That's almost wholly accurate.
Yeah, all called that. Right, well, let's go over to your iPod again,
no,
I think,
is
I think
Rob.
Are
you ready?
Getting it ready. He's going to press play now because we were worried that it's going to still
there's no
have
screen or anything,
the
so
end
it's
of Rush.
Has it?
So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping for more Rush, personally.
Are you getting anything?
No, it's not playing yet.
Go again.
Sure, it's not playing yet, Rob. But
hit it one more time. It's flashing.
I can hear something. I can hear Rush fading out. Here we go. Rob Deering's iPod, track 2, on a dreary Sunday. No. Oh. Hold on a second.
Here it comes.
Hold on a second, everyone.
Ah, yeah. There you go.
Tears for Fears. Food by Radio, Rob Deering's iPod, playing away. This is quite a long one. Rob was saying, you planked this, Rob.
Oh, not all the way through. I can't do more than 3 minutes. But it's good because it's quite long and dull. You can really stretch out that plank.
3 minutes is a good length to plank, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't break 3 minutes. I've been doing it for a few months now. It's hard.
You've been pushing it.
Yeah.
You've been pushing it. What's
your... You know the plank record? Did you hear about the plank record last year? 4 hours, 36.
What?!
I know.
Well, by an actual plank, I'd imagine.
An actual Jedi. Yeah.
You can't.
Well, they do even longer.
they plank like nobody's business. the actual planks.
Incredible plankers.
Of course.
But yeah, no, I can't get past 3 minutes. One day I hope to.
Yeah.
And I also want to start side planking.
Now, what's. I mean, is that what I think it is?
Well, I don't know. you know, but just once, you know, I'm going to add one each side.
Yeah. So you got a hand on the floor.
You got one arm like that, creating a sturdy base.
I see. And then you're still sticking your legs out. Let us know if you're listening and you've planked for longer than 3 minutes. Do let us know.
In the meantime, I'm hoping that when my iPod goes back on, it plays a song from less than 25 years ago.
Yeah, if you got it.
Have we got anything from this century?
Yeah. You said you were saying to me the Tears of Fear is a big influence on you, but you never admit it.
That's right. I thought they were incredibly cool at the time, which, you know, is, yeah. And they've got cool again. Thank goodness for it. If it wasn't for Donnie Darko, you know, but I've been rehabilitated.
Was it two songs in that?
Yeah, absolutely. The one Mad cover World. Version and one straight.
But there was also another Tears of Fear song in that.
Head Over Heels.
Head Over Heels,
yeah. In the slow motion school scene.
Because it starts off with the camera on its side, I think,
yeah.
Looking at the bus. So you're not sure you're looking at the bus door. It's slow motion. I'm a big fan of one shot, long one shot. It's just one shots, isn't it?
Yeah.
One shot bits in films.
Tracking shots, if you will, yeah. If they move.
Tracking bits in
but
films.
They don't necessarily move, then they're not tracking shots. But yeah, you just made me think of the excellent one, and it's really good, really satisfying, because the other thing with the film is you've got your perspectives. Mm. And if you cheat, you know, basically you're assuming you're either watching or it's someone's eye view or whatever. But if you change it,
yes.
So it goes from being behind someone's eyes and then you're not anymore. Like, and then what I'm thinking of is the Brian De Palma one in Carlito's Way. Because you start right. Seeing out of Carlito's eyes.
Yes.
But then you don't. So basically you ask, it's what his soul is seeing as it floats above him. And you've got the
absolutely.
Upside down lights and the fantastic stuff.
Oh, Carlito's soul. We have got a caller. We've got a caller who's going to share their iPod with us, put it on shuffle. I believe his name is Pete. That is correct. I got it right. Pete, are you there? Did I just cut Pete off? I think I just cut Pete off. I think I just immediately cut off Pete. Listen to that.
Yeah, that's it. I could have told you that. I watched you press the wrong button there.
Press the wrong. I tell you what I did. I tell you what I did, everyone. I just deliberately. I didn't deliberately do it, but I accidentally cut Pete off.
Hey, Pete. Obviously, you can still hear us. So,
I didn't really want to feel bad about it. Shall I play a song and then we'll get Pete back?
No, I'll get Pete. Just chat.
That's Amanda. There's
hi.
Amanda.
Amanda's yo,
there.
Yo, yo.
Amanda's here and knows how to work stuff in the studio. She shows me how to work it. And then I go, yep. And then when I'm told, just move the fader up and that's it, I don't. I press that button first.
Yeah, there's a kind of blind optimism to the way you work that
no
channel just then.
Good reason. You seen True Detective?
And I haven't watched True Detective.
It's very
find,
good.
I have to say, shot, I it? Find Matthew McConaughey slightly tiresome.
Yeah.
And I know, don't get me wrong, I have complete respect.
Yeah.
I think he's really good at his job.
Yes.
So whenever I sit down to watch him, I'm like, okay, fair enough, he's Matthew McConaughey. But, you know, his mere between roles puts me off watching the next thing he's in.
Well, his Oscar speech was the most insane thing I've ever heard in my
life. Yeah, and not in a good way.
Yeah, his hero is himself in 10 years' time. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
What do you think about Matthew McConaughey, Pete?
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
There he is. There's
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah, see,
sorry,
hi,
mate.
Pete.
Sorry about what I did earlier.
Right.
Cut you out.
That's fine.
You love McConaughey?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely love him.
Yeah? What's your favourite McConaughey film or performance?
I think you've seen Through My Bluff here.
Ah, you don't even know who he is.
I know who he is, but I couldn't name you a film.
Have you seen Interstellar? That's his most recent work.
No, I've not, sorry.
Right. Well, fair you enough. Know, you might. What kind of films do you normally like, Pete? You might want to steer clear of Interstellar, because a lot of people are angry about that film.
Yeah, I hear that.
They really
why are they angry? What were they angry about?
Yeah, you
plot spoilers would be involved if we explain how ridiculous it is.
But it's a very silly, very silly ending.
Yeah.
Like, what's your favourite film, Pete? If you had to just watch one film forever, and you've got to.
Well, I don't know. It's sort of the trendy choice would be The Big Lebowski, but my honest answer would be The Jungle Book.
Okay, well, you'd be honest with it then. Like the live-action Jungle Book or the cartoon?
No, the cartoon.
Well, the best thing about that is the Beatles eat at vultures, isn't it? They're the high point in that, with their wigs and shonky British accents.
They're very good.
Yeah.
They're very, very funny as well. They're saying, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? And it goes back and forth. It's very funny. Very funny. Well, imagine, Pete, if The Jungle Book was like that good, and then at the end, it just went really trippy. And like all the animals started walking around on hind legs and morphing into aliens for no reason or something like that. Imagine if The Jungle Book just went, I can't be bothered to write an ending, I'm going to do it really.
Imagine
confusing.
If the end of The Jungle Book was the end of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, basically.
That's what Interstellar's like.
That's what Interstellar is like.
Yeah.
So
you maybe want to watch it now.
Yeah, well, you need to see it to understand what the hell we're talking about.
You'll love it, mate. We've got your iTunes here. Gonna shuffle it up. Do you like a wide range of music, Pete?
Yeah, and that's why I was a little bit worried about this, because I've got a lot of explicit hip-hop on my iPod, and I didn't want you to get in trouble if
Mate,
it ended on one of those tracks.
We ain't going
to get
in any fucking trouble. We can swear all we like. We can say whatever we want.
Fubar, innit?
Yeah, it's great, mate. Just swear. Say a swear, Pete.
Say a swear?
Say a swear
I
word.
I want to, because my girlfriend's listening in the other room, and she might be offended if hear me swear and use bad words.
How old's your girlfriend, 80?
No, she is an adult, yeah.
She's quite a narrow-minded adult, though, by the sound of things.
Going out with an Amish person. What's going on, Pete? She doesn't like you swearing?
Hey, don't worry, I'll do it. Jizz trumpet, there you go.
There you go.
I've done it.
Use that one. Go on, Pete, do a whisper it so she can't hear.
I'll just go for one of the traditional, like, shit face or something like that.
Shit face. Well, I don't know how traditional that is. Shit was good. Shit's traditional, but then you added face on the end and
jazzed up a bit. I thought it was good. Enjoyed it.
I really liked it. Really liked it, mate. What's your job, Pete?
I work for Sky Sports.
Oh, lovely stuff. Favourite sport?
To watch, I'd say football. To play tennis.
I play badminton.
Shuttlecock.
Good choice, actually.
Shuttlecock. Always funny. We have the leisure centre booked for an hour, but we only get to play for 5 minutes because we spend 55 minutes laughing at the word shuttlecock. So we go straight to your iTunes now and put it on shuffle, Pete. You got your fingers crossed?
Yeah, hopefully it'll be something decent.
I believe in you, mate. Here we go. This is Pete's iPod. She's attracted to by the Young Knives. Pete, you fucking wanker. not that you are, Pete, just because you said about the swearing. You happy with that, mate?
Yeah, that's good. The one thing, though, I've got a really cheap mobile phone at the moment.
Yeah.
And I couldn't hear the music. I could only hear the vocals, so it just sounded like someone having a breakdown in the
Just someone shouting. I mean, he does sound pretty angry in that, doesn't he?
That's our second really cross record of the show.
Yeah, what's buzzing around his bonnet, Pete? What's going on with that guy? He's punching someone's dad at one point, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's just parent fights and things like that. It's a bit weird.
The Young Knives. Have you got a lot of stuff by the Young Knives?
Yeah, a fair bit. I think. Well, me and my girlfriend become a bit obsessed with them. We've seen them a few times. So.
Oh really?
That was bound to come up, I think.
Because they were. I remember when they came out, everyone's telling me you got to listen to them. They're the cool band, and then these cool bands you kind of don't hear about them for a bit, but they've
they got a bit old now as well.
Really, but still got quite a lot of cool supporters when you go and see them. Pretty good live show.
It's mainly sort of mid-30s indie wannabes.
I see.
Clinging on to their youth.
Is that how you would describe yourself, Pete? Are you?
No, I'm late 20s. So
nice one, mate. Absolutely, you can sit around judging those guys, all those granddads watching the Young Knives in their tragic 30s. Pretty nice. You a fan of the Young Knives, Rob? You heard them before?
Yeah, that's how cool all my music is. That was completely, even though we're talking about how they're not as cool as they used to be, it was still cooler than all my records, wasn't it? And I mean, I might be an indie wannabe, but I'm not in my 30s, so the whole thing's been disastrous for me.
Well, your thing's been good. I think Rush...
No, in a way, I was feeling all right until Pete's record came on, and now... Which I enjoyed. It had a lovely energy to it. But it was a bit Daft Punk's playing at my house, wasn't it? It's got that kind of same kind of,
Who's that? LCD Sound System, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very cool title for a song, isn't it? Daft Punk's playing at my house. It's very deliberate. That is...
It's studied, isn't it?
Might as well call it We're Cool. We're a cool band.
Yeah, and it's like being ironic and not ironic all at once. Because we're pretending to be cool, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
That is cool, being cool. Are you? You said you had a lot of hip hop, Pete.
Yeah, there's a bit on there. Yeah.
What kind of stuff?
MS Doom. There's quite a lot of that on there.
What's MS Doom like?
He's good. I didn't realise he's actually. He's from Hackney, but he's moved to America when he was a kid, so he's got all the sort of gangster thing going on. But he's actually just from Hackney.
Well, that's still pretty gangster, right? No, it's not, is it? Not Hackney. Hackney's quite hipster. You wouldn't get anyone rapping in Hackney
for
these
a
days.
London borough. Hackney's all right. I mean, Derek B. Do you remember Derek B? That's a long time ago. But he was from Acton. That's never going to play, is it?
I won't stand for it anyway. Pete, let's do another song from your iPod, mate. Let's see if Mount Doon or whatever you said comes up. here we go, mate. Pete's iPod, track two. Purple Haze, Jimi Hendrix on FUBAR from Pete's iPod. Pete, you landed on your feet there, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, lucky. Luck of the draw.
I mean, come on, mate. Too easy. I mean, that is... I can only hope that something... I mean, I've got that on my iPod, but my iPod will never throw it up. It keeps on throwing up obscure stuff instead. But, like... I've only just got into Hendrix, actually. I've only just got Are You Experienced. I'm very, very behind on everything. But, like, always... Sorry, Pete. Rob was just looking at me. I thought, what's Rob's problem? He's looking really, really angry. And then I realised it was because I haven't turned his mic on. He was looking at me like, when are you ready, mate? Sorry.
You said, I'm just coming to Hendrix. I've just got Are You Experienced. So I'm very... I wanted to say inexperienced.
Inexperienced at working that sound desk, mate?
Are you experienced? No, I'm not.
No, not at all. he's a great old Jimmy. He's great. He's in the 27 Club.
Mm-hmm.
How old did you say you were, Pete?
28. So I managed to survive that.
Safe. Yeah. You're safe until you're 42, so you don't have to. Oh, wait a minute. No, there's Jesus Club at 33, and Elvis Club at 42.
Is it just Elvis 42?
No, I think other people have died at 42.
Yeah. when Amy Winehouse died, one of my favourite things on Twitter was Danny DeVito did a tweet saying, you know, so sad and just 27. He said same age as Jim Morrison. And then Danny DeVito didn't know about the 27 Club, didn't know that there was a... So then loads of people tweeted at him about other people and it blew his mind and he kept on retweeting and going, whoa, guys, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain was 26, Janis Joplin, and he couldn't believe it. Seeing Danny DeVito just find out about the 27 Club live on Twitter was one of my favourite moments on the internet. Pete, what have you got planned for the rest of today, mate?
There's not much left of it, but I'm going to plant some tomatoes and then have a sit down. It's been a busy weekend.
There's a man who listens to Hendrix.
Yeah,
there he is. Yeah. He knows exactly.
Don't know if it's tomorrow or just the end of time with that kind of behaviour.
What kind of tomatoes are you going to plant, mate?
It's like a sort of little grow your own tomato kit that I just got from Home Base today, which is obviously a wild Sunday. But
nice.
Get those on the go.
Can you do me a favour and get out of town, mate? I can't believe this. I can't believe it. That sounds great. And you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to have them in a salad.
Got to grow them first.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you got to grow. It'll be a few months until I can eat them, I think.
You will look forward to this. My mum once grew some strawberries in the garden, wild strawberries, and she just got enough to have enough strawberries with a bowl of yoghurt, and she asked me if I wanted some, and I thought it'd be really funny if I just got a spoonful of basically all the strawberries and ate it in one, and I did that, and it's the worst thing I've ever done in my life. As soon as my lips closed around that spoon, I went, I've misjudged this so badly. This was so long that it took her to grow these strawberries, and now I've ate them all for a joke.
It seems pretty funny to me.
Seems funny now, but then seeing my mum's face fall and going, yep, that's the worst thing I've ever done.
Well, you have to go around to Pete's and eat all his tomatoes in a few months' time.
Yeah, Pete, invite me over. We got those tomatoes, mate. I promise I'll only have one. Ha 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 ha. Looking at Robin winking because I know what I'm going to do. The greatest joke of all time. Just stamp on them all. That's what, when you hand them to him, just throw them on the floor and stamp on them. Well, let us know how those tomatoes turn out, mate.
No, I will do. I'm sure you'll be looking forward to hearing about the tomatoes in the future.
We will, actually. Well, it would be good if you just tweet to me. When you eat the tomatoes, just tweet at me going, the tomatoes were nice, or the tomatoes were whatever they are, and we'll see if I can remember. This conversation. Thanks very much for talking to us, Pete. Have a lovely rest of your day and keep the language clean around the old GF, okay?
I will do.
Hey, see you later, mate.
Have a good night. See you later.
Pete. Thanks, man. Bye. Lovely young man.
Good records.
Came across well, didn't he?
Yeah, and also this whole tomatoes, then have a sit down. This is a guy who knows how to do Sunday.
Yeah, properly knows how to do Sunday.
Yeah, he's not, you know, he's enjoying the young knives, but he's not tapping into that kind of anger, that kind of discomfort with modern life.
I imagine he's listening to Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
With those, with
I
those
think that sounds more you. She's pretty depressing.
Yeah, that would be more me, wouldn't it? What, who's he listening to while he's doing the tomatoes? Probably someone nice and cooler
maybe
shaker.
Maybe some Ronald Binge.
One of the slower cooler shaker songs. Right, switching over now. James Acaster, that's me. iPod. Press play and see what the next song is. Here we go. The Retro Spankies on FUBAR Radio with The Terror of Bruges is what that song is called. They're my friends.
Yeah, that's that's incredible. They're your friends. I can well believe that. It was it was so hip that was virtually fictional.
Yes.
Terror of Bruges by the Retro Spankies.
Yeah, you can't make that up.
No.
I mean, they did, but
exactly, they did, but no one else could.
No one else could have done. I remember them doing. See, that's a lot of memories. That's years ago. It's like,
when's that from? Because that was good. It was a good record.
About 8 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. They just released their second album, so it's taken them quite a long time. But it's really, really amazing. It's called Meager Vengeance, their new album, and
which is a great title.
Yeah, it's really good. Like really, really good. And that's from an album called I Know You Are, But What Am I?
Yeah.
And I remember them doing that in Northampton pubs and stuff, little back rooms in Northampton, playing all those songs. And then when they did the album launch, it was the first one of our friends to get a record deal and release an album. So that album launch was so exciting. It was at the Roadmender, which is shut now.
Oh, yeah, is it shut? I've done the
Roadmender. No, sorry, not the Roadmender. It's at the Soundhouse, which is shut now.
I did a gig at the Roadmender, and I was talking about this the other day with a friend of mine. who was in a band, and because the reason it came up, I was doing this. I was listening to something and didn't have control what song was going on. Mm. Bit of Osric Tentacles came on.
Yes.
So I said, I'm on the DLR, listening to Osric Tentacles and eating hummus.
Yeah.
And got into, because true story.
Yeah.
And got into this conversation. Basically, I did a gig in Northampton at the Roadmender.
Roadmender, yeah.
And Osric Tentacles were in the audience.
Oh, wow.
And you know who I was on with that night? Russell Brand. What's he doing now?
Washed up.
Yeah, he's washed up. He's going to go and watch some TV.
He's playing keyboard in the Osric Tentacles, isn't he?
Yeah.
He got in. But yeah, Soundhouse, not there anymore.
Yeah.
But that night, them doing that album. Again, album all the way through. One album all the way through.
Beautiful.
Our friends got signed. They were going to release an album. We were all very excited. And it was a fancy dress thing as well. Like, you had to come in fancy dress.
What was there a dress code? Just any fancy dress?
I think you had to come as something that is usually little. So a big version of something that's usually small, I think, was the theme for it. So, yeah, you had to, like, a massive phone or
a
toothpick.
So at that party, you were really having it large.
Yeah, we were, Rob Deering, that's why we got him on.
I mean, you know, you can't help it. That kind of thing is just going to come out, you know. It's just,
I was bigging up myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was you, massive.
Had a go.
You were in the Northampton Massive.
I was in the Northampton Massive. Very good, very good.
What did you go as then?
I can't remember what I went at. I can't remember. I have no idea. I think it was something like, it might have been a sandwich. I think I may have gone as a sandwich.
They're normally small.
They're normally quite small. I think it was a massive sandwich. But basically just doing the bread and doing myself as the filling.
Are you a big dresser-upper? Because you played Beat This as a clown. That was a very special moment in all our lives.
Yes. Beat This is Rob Deering's fantastic live comedy music quiz show. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I do it a lot. And once I had to go straight from a gig I did where I was dressed as a clown called The Circus, and I had to run straight from that gig to Rob's gig and not wash the makeup off or anything.
Yeah, and play Beat This as a clown for no particular reason, which is just wonderful.
And it looked, by the time I got to you as well, I was sweating. It looked quite scary. It didn't look as fun as it had. And Rob would make horrible loops.
Yeah, we made a loop. It was kind of a loop of this noise. But round and round over and over again, which sounded much scarier. And that was your thoughts, wasn't it?
Because it kind of built up this hive, this horrible, like... And with me, I'd just stare at an audience member until he had a breakdown.
Yeah, and I think, audience members there laughed a lot, but they're still having nightmares now.
Yeah, they're still not okay with it. It wasn't all right.
But are you a big dresser-upper then, the sandwich, the clown?
No, I don't enjoy dressing up. I used I used to live with some people who always had fancy dress parties, and they were really good at putting the effort in, and they were really great at it. And I felt like I was wasn't good enough at it. Like we had, and they'd had so many fancy dress parties that the themes had got very obscure. So when I first moved in, the theme was The Beautiful and the Damned.
Mm.
And I was like, what am I going to go? Eventually I went as the kid in American Beauty who films the plastic bag. So it was quite good, actually, because you dress like him is easy.
Yeah.
Because you just wear a beanie and a white T-shirt and some jeans. And then you get a camcorder and a plastic bag. And I just walked around the party throwing the plastic bag into a room and filming it. So then I was actually filming the party as well, so people were enjoying that.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, just filming everyone going, lobbing a bag around, and then I'd go somewhere else and do it in a different room. So yeah, I managed to pull it off, but like the guy who was in the flat before me, or in the house before me, his name was John Leslie.
But
not the.
Yeah.
But he was really good at fancy dress. So all around the house.
So for a while you couldn't work out who he was.
Yeah, I was like, are you the... But there's all photos around the house, the four of them on different fancy dress parties I had in the past, all looking brilliant. John Leslie front and centre, just really nailing it. I was like, oh,
but
man.
But not that John Leslie.
But not that John Leslie. Let's really...
That's a lot of pressure on you, isn't it?
Oh, I was very scared. Scene. I was very scared. But then John Leslie turned up at The Beautiful and the Damned as That Damn Spot is what he was. He wore a T-shirt with a red dot on it. He said, it's That Damn Spot from Macbeth.
Yeah. Well, I don't like that because he's misquoting it slightly. It's out. It's out damn spot.
So. Yeah. But then, you know...
John Leslie's an idiot.
If you knew him, you would not say that. He's a lovely man. He works for cancer research and we all respect him
very
much.
Oh, great.
Bob Deering there. But Bob Deering runs many marathons raising money for...
Parkinson's UK, that's my charity.
There you go. Follow Rob on Twitter and sponsor him next time he's running a marathon.
I'm running the marathon in April. I'm going to do a double Brilliant. Run tomorrow. I'll be listening to this playlist.
Ah, oh, well, speaking of which, let's see what it throws up next.
Right, you ready?
Yeah, just press play whenever you're ready, Rob. We'll see see what happens. Rob Deering, by the way, is looking very nervous in the studio at the moment as he presses play. Shakily looking.
You got anything?
Also, what I should point out about Rob's iPod while we're carrying it is that there's no screen in it or anything, so we never know if it started playing or not.
Yeah, it's played something good and something actually from the modern time.
Oh, he's landed. He's landed on it. He's landed on it. And it. His feet. Ooh, Rob Deering's iPod throwing up a futuristic jogging classic. Well, who is it, Rob?
That's Todd Terrier with the DeLorean, or Turgy, depending on how you want to pronounce that, with DeLorean Dynamite.
DeLorean Dynamite. That is a good title for a song, DeLorean Dynamite.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm behind that. And you listen to this while you're jogging?
Yeah, and I like to imagine that I'm going at over 1,000 miles an hour.
In like some sort of Blade Runner universe.
Yeah, when actually I'm just trying to get across at Dalston so I can go around Hackney Marshes again.
Yeah, lovely. This is very cool.
It's a
cool.
Great combination of excellent and dull, isn't it, that one?
Well, I think we've all got those kind of songs on our iPods. Where, like, also, those ones that are really long as well, like these kind of dance songs that are really, really long. And I only really bother listening to them when I am on my own,
yep.
Listening to my iPod, and it comes up. And after about 5 minutes, I suddenly realise, this is the best song ever.
Yeah,
this is actually amazing.
Yeah.
I need to stay in it for 5 minutes every time I listen to it, but then there's no way of playing that to a friend.
No, it's never
good. You can't sit there with them and go, seriously, just put the minutes in with me.
Blend next one.
Yeah.
It's finished. Except it's still got ages to go because it's got a really long, boring play out. So.
We'll be all right. There you go, I faded it out, mate.
Nicely done.
Faded it out. I thought, why not take it into my own hands? But excellent.
That was good, though, wasn't it? That was a nice counterpoint.
Where's he from?
He's, I think he's Swedish.
Swedish.
Although his big hit was called Inspector Norse, so maybe he's Norwegian, or maybe that was just a joke about Norse mythology. Well, Norse doesn't mean Norway, does it? It's more kind of Vikings and stuff. I don't know.
Been to Norway?
Recently, I went to Oslo to do some gigs and it was excellent.
Yeah?
Really good. I went running in Norway in the pouring rain,
yeah,
past these huge post-industrial cataracts.
Yes.
And I was listening to Higher State of Consciousness by Josh Wink.
Uh-huh.
Actually listening to it. I'm not just shoehorning that in so I can do the thing you know I can do. And and that's obviously a huge,
yeah,
pumping techno classic. And I tell you, I was running faster than the speed of light.
Yes. Can you do my favourite thing, please? You can't see that, but Rob is doing that live with his mouth. It's brilliant. It's my favourite thing.
Ah, yeah. I wish I'd played that.
Ah, it's great. When did you learn you could do that?
When the song was out. But it was a long time before it went into my set.
How do you... Are you, like, slightly opening your mouth when you're doing that?
Yeah, you got your... you've got to do that anyway and get it really slow. Get it quite slow. It can't go... Can't hook up like that.
I can't control the speed
slow
of that.
Slow and steady. Like that.
I'm just going lower, aren't I? I'm not going slower.
Yeah, exactly.
I just keep on changing the pitch of it.
And then you just got to talk behind it, you know, so I can say... It did say hello, power you a little bit, and but you know,
still knew what that means. I understood it.
Yeah,
I see how you're doing that. I mean, I don't.
Did you do gun or tractor noises when you were younger?
Gun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but I'm thinking more repeating weapons.
Well, I was going to say. Do that again. Sounds really fast all the time.
That's RoboCop's gun. You know, in RoboCop, they're all, yeah, doing fire target practice, and they're kind of going.
Yeah.
And he's on the end, and his fantastic future gun is going.
Oh, that's good. That's a good
that's
one.
That's a good one, isn't it?
You've got more rubbery lips.
Aren't they? They're lovely, aren't they? Oh, I miss
Very
Angie.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fine line, isn't it?
You can tell. Yeah. You can tell that's mine. Me trying to do it.
That was good.
That was all right, one. But then I sniggered afterwards, which RoboCop never did.
Yeah, but then you could have done the little waggly thing and put it back in your thigh. But it's not good radio.
Well, who knows? I mean, I don't think at this point I'm in any position to say what is and isn't good radio. I'm messing up the controls and just going for ages. But
after our earlier demonstration of what your thoughts were when you were a clown.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically what my whole life is. Right, moving on to my iPod. Let's see. I have been so far very happy with what it has thrown
you're
up.
You're determined to put the kibosh on this, though. By saying that, this next one's going to be disastrous.
Yeah, it could be. But let's see. Let's see what it is. Who knows? Pretty cool, Karen O.
You know.
Whoa. Whoa! Holy shit! That is Karen O with Native Korean Rock. But get this, right? That song is 2 minutes and a half long, but it ends 1 minute 18 in, unexpectedly. So I'm there looking at my iPod thinking I've got loads of time.
Maybe that was a break and there was more to come and you spoiled it.
Well, I'll press play again now and we'll see if anything happens. I mean, I'm guessing that's the last song on the album or something like that. So there might even be a secret track.
Yeah.
Maybe there's going to be a secret track soon. I'm watching it count down.
Yeah, no secret tracks.
Oh, we should do secret tracks. Hidden tracks are... Nah, it's not...
What's a good hidden track that you can think of?
I don't know if there is.
I know the last chord on Pulp's This Is Hardcore just goes on for about 10 minutes.
Really?
They just hold the last chord of that song. It's about revolution or something. And so you listen to the album, you're not really listening to it. And then after a while you think, what's happening in the other room? Because Pulp were playing the last chord of their album for 10 minutes.
Is there Ben Folds? Is there a Ben Folds one when the hidden track is just someone saying Ben Folds is a fucking asshole? And like, I think you're meant to believe that he was unaware.
Someone snuck it in.
Yeah.
Well, it'd take less time than scratching it on all the vinyl copies.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there is a secret track on this. 10 seconds to go. I think she's literally just left a really long pause at the end of a song.
How very Schoenberg of her. Is that Schoenberg? Is that right?
Yeah. Schoenberg. I don't know who's Schoenberg.
Who did the silent song? John Cage.
The horse that got kidnapped.
No, that's Shergar. But also Shergar was musically was completely silent, particularly after the kidnapping.
Yeah, just did nothing. No hidden track there.
Yeah, that worked well, didn't it? That kidnapping and ransoming.
Yeah, well, how did it work out for
them? They stole a racehorse. Everyone went, whoa, they stole a racehorse. They obviously didn't know where to put it and shut it in the head and put it in a hole. And worked a treat. Good skills.
Pretty bad. I mean, that's a bad day for you. If you've stolen a racehorse and you're just shooting it because...
You think it's bad for them. Think how bad it was for Shergar.
Yeah, Shergar must have hated it.
Top of his game, thinking, I've got another race coming up. I'm going to eat me some oats.
Yeah. But caught by these slow humans. Or something. I can outrun them. Poor old Shergar. But I do like a hidden track, though. I used to really love just fast-forwarding my CD player. Because obviously, you know, that's what I wouldn't literally wait.
No.
But sometimes they genuinely get you. You wouldn't... First time you ever listen to an album, and you think, oh, the album's finished, and then you continue pottering around in your room, and then 10 minutes later, hits you. Deftones did it in one of their albums. Crapped myself.
Got you. I had one, and I thought I'd heard the last song on the album. It wasn't even a secret. Just didn't know about it. But it was a really spooky song, and it was on a Rush album.
Right,
it's the Cygnus X1 on Farewell to Kings, and it starts with all these spooky noises, and then it fades in with this really weird syncopated bass line, and I thought my record player was haunted. I was drunk.
You burnt it there and then smashed it up.
I just kicked it
out, demons.
This is just the last song on the album. Well, now the record player's broken and we'll never hear it.
Be gone,
unless it's the next song on here.
I Bloc Party annoyed me with the Silent Alarm album when literally the last track had in brackets after it hidden track as well, to let you know that there is a hidden track at the end. You go, no, that's not hidden.
No.
Just told us the track's there.
If you use that technique during a game of hide and seek, you wouldn't get very far, would it?
Yeah, exactly. Be awful.
It's like hearing a voice saying, by the way, I'm in this room somewhere.
Yeah, I am in probably where my voice is coming from.
Yeah. Follow the sound of my voice and you'll find my secret hiding place.
Also, if you flag up a hidden track as a band, it's just insecurity, isn't it? They're just going, oh, what if people just... When people don't listen that long and they never hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, good point. We'll write hidden track in brackets. Oh, great. Well done.
Yeah, and the good thing about that is nothing's spoiled.
No.
None of the magic is lost.
No. What's the point? Just don't do a hidden track in that case. Just put it as an actual song on the album. Don't make us... Oh, great. There's a 5-minute gap between two songs. Brilliant. Biffy Clyro do good ones. They did a good one on their third album.
What happens? I don't know.
It comes in with this, like, again, quite haunting sounds, kind of like, I think it's like violins. It's like, and then him doing like a Scottish poem over the top, but singing, half singing like a little poem. Very good.
Good, spooky.
Yeah, it's very nice. On Infinity Land, good album.
You saying it's got violins made me think of a friend of mine who wouldn't like it because he said, and I quote, I don't like any music with violins on it.
Just rules it all out.
That's the rule. And, you know, that's a bad rule.
Yeah.
That's cut a swathe through popular music for the last few centuries.
Do you even know why? Where he's got that for? He
didn't follow it up. He didn't support that theory at all.
What do you think about Nigel Kennedy?
Well, I mean, if, you know, within that, I doubt he'd make an exception for Nigel. I mean, that's pretty full-on violin use.
He's a cocky one, isn't he? He's a cocky one, old Nigel Kennedy. You've seen him doing... I saw him at the proms wearing his West Ham T-shirt or whatever. Who is it he supports? It's not West Ham, is it?
It is West Ham, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. Or is it Aston Villa? It's one of the purple and blue ones.
He's always wearing that. I mean, you know, which is cool, but, you know, he's making a point, isn't he?
It's original Mockney as well. He used to be Posh and then he suddenly got all London.
Right, yeah, okay. So I saw him, like, doing, like, a violin. He was playing with the whole orchestra. But he picked out this violinist and was properly, like, he was probably, like, not sticking to the music.
Yeah.
And making this violinist keep up with him, really testing him in front of everyone. That's pretty cool. But at the same time, if I was that violinist, I'd be like, you motherfucker. Like, why are you making me?
Yeah, back off, Kennedy.
Like, if I mess up now, you know that I'm the one who looks bad. Everyone thinks you're cool. You've got a West Ham T-shirt on. I'm in a tux like a square.
Yeah.
Got to play along to this. But the guy kept up with him, and at the end, Kennedy was like, Yeah,
respect.
I respect you.
Like Julian Banjos, only in a concert hall rather than the Appalachians and with violins instead of banjos.
Yeah, but it was exactly the same. And then basically the plot of Deliverance played out after that.
What a terrifying plot.
It's horrible, horrible proms. It's a very dark turn. It's not a happy film, is it?
Oh, no. Well, that maybe could have done with the end of Interstellar to lift it.
Yeah. I watched that in a when I was in an open spot. I used to just stay over at people's houses I didn't know. And I watched that. I was staying in someone's house that I'd never met before in St Albans, and in upstairs room of a pub. And the only DVD they had in the room that I was sleeping in was Deliverance.
Did they kind of leave it there for you in front of the television with a note that says, put this in and watch this?
Yeah.
Little piggy.
Yeah. Okay, cool, guys.
Thanks very much.
Oh, I really love the banjos. And then, really, just had to fight my way out of there. It's horrible. Okay, well, you know, let's just do another song from your iPod.
Yeah, talking of the film Deliverance, listen to this.
Probably, yeah. Rob Deering.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Whoa! What has happened? Something's playing.
That was my next track.
Your next track. You went straight on.
I went straight to my next. I'll get rid of that. It doesn't count anymore, does it?
What was that next one? It started playing.
That was Laura and Vula.
Oof. We have had a cool one this week. That was great, Jungle Brothers.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. That's good running music as well, because you've got that double pace. It's it's got a lot of on it as well.
One of my favourite things is songs starting out slow and then going fast.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
I really like it.
Yeah.
I really like when it kicks in and like, oh, hello.
Yeah, and I love it when it's simple like that. If you do it electronic, when it is just exactly the same, it's the same thing times two. So, you know, like Weather Experience by The Prodigy.
Yeah.
Or... the Song of Life by Left Field. It's just the same song, speed it up.
Weather Experience, very good. That album's very good. That's Prodigy Experience, isn't
it? Yeah, great.
And because that starts off with them with the loops of Weathermen, doesn't it, at the beginning, being like...
Yeah, it's Michael Fish.
Is it Michael Fish?
You don't expect to be a very cool thing on the techno, and it's...
You can picture him as it in The Prodigy, can't you? If he just, like, dyed the sides of his hair.
Yeah.
You could do that.
He was a great, incredible dancer, Michael Fish, as well.
Yeah, really great dancer. Because Prodigy was weird, because it was like, Keith Flint was a dancer.
It was originally three dancers and one musician.
Yeah.
And then two of the dancers became vocalists as well.
Yeah.
And the fourth member stopped being a member because he couldn't dance anymore, because his knees had gone shonky.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know he left. But he was still with them for Fat of the Land. Fat of the Land was still four of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And he was the one who didn't dress up. He was always just there in a hoodie and jeans.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
Some shades on.
Yeah.
But,
even as the other two started using canes and wearing contact lenses and dressed up like they were out of 2000 AD.
Yeah, they started dressing very scary, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
I think it was meant to be funny.
I think so, yeah. And it was very cool. I loved the way, because they'd already been famous. And you look back at Keith Flint, what Keith Flint looked like before his signature look.
His long hair.
Good stuff. Loved The Prodigy.
Yeah, Prodigy's brilliant. Really
that
good.
That wasn't The Prodigy, it was Jungle Brothers.
That was Jungle Brothers. And they've made us talk about The Prodigy, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Prodigy live this summer. New album out, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the artwork for it. Looks good.
Good. Well, that's the important thing, isn't it?
So yeah, it's pretty funky. I think Jilted Generation's my favourite album.
Yeah. Oh, too good.
You don't have to say. Have to say.
No, it is good, but it's got no good on it.
It's got no good start the dance on it.
Yeah, no good for me. Brilliant.
You do that in your set?
Yeah, I used to. Yes.
You do that on a loop. Just all the Rob Deering can sing all the parts of No Good Start the Dance.
Yep. It's good. It's good. You know.
Why did you stop?
I haven't got a loop pedal.
That is so much harder.
But you put it all together.
It looks so easy when Rob does it, and then you try and do it for a second, and it's like, oh yeah, that's really, really difficult. Boogada, boogada, boogada. I can't say boogada.
Yeah.
Boogada.
Yeah, it's important. Boogada.
Maybe it's because that's not really what you're saying.
It's a building block. Isn't
that's
it?
What I would be if I was a beatboxer. I'd just be going boom, bacak, boom, boom, boogada, boogada, and saying words rather than actually doing the sounds and just being like.
No, I think boogada's good. If you can get your boogadas
tish,
together.
Tish, tish, tish.
Boogada, boogada, boogada.
Tish, boom, 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 bap, bap, bap. Tish,
crash.
Tish. Crash, 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 crash and crash it.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I would do for the whole thing. We've got another person on the phone coming up soon, but before we speak to them, we're going to play another song from my album. Let's see what the next track is. Still on a call streak, Karen O. I mean, who's going to call you a dweeb if you listen to Karen O? Nobody.
No, exactly. You're more hipster than those Irish guys with the cereal shop. That's brilliant.
They are. Do you know what? Years ago, I had the idea for that. I'm not even lying. You know, when you come up with ideas and stuff, when I was a teenager, I wanted to start open a cereal shop. And just did exactly what they're doing. And my friend Ricky Sedani, who owned a coffee shop in Kettering, said, yeah, I'm going to America. I want to come back. We'll start up the business together. And obviously I thought, well, he's lying. He's not going to do that with me. So I ignored him. But maybe I should have actually followed it up because they've done all
maybe
right.
Maybe you should. To be fair to them, that's the first one. They're going to do a different one and then a different one. It's a cereal.
Ah! Hey! Next song, I think. Oh, look who's done. Don't tell me that they're all the same. Two Karen O songs in a row.
Whoa.
Karen O with Ooh.
See, who says your playlist is depressing?
No one says mine's depressing. Just those two Karen O songs back to back. I've got 8,001 songs on my iPod.
Yeah.
And it chose two Karen. I mean, you know.
What are the odds?
I'm beside myself.
There's actually an algorithm that does that. It makes it do that. Now, mine started playing Laura and Vula. Is that there now?
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't count. We've got to get rid of that.
Basically,
that's been blown.
What we're doing is we're going straight onto Rob's iPod because mine was such a short one.
Yeah. So that's a little flash of Laura, but that would have been next. But what you get instead is this.
Arms Control Poser by The Fall from Mr. Rob Deering's iPod. Very happy with that. Very happy with your entire playlist, I'd imagine, today.
Yeah, I think it was very lit in the way. It came off, like you say, there's something a bit kind of hip and cool in the ether because I've got Sugar Babes, I've got Katy Perry, I've got the theme from The Flumps, you know. Yeah. So this kind of, there's just a bit of a hip vibe in the air. The eye god wants to play the hip stuff.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Rob, and thank you very much for bringing your iPod in and sharing it with us. You've got to run off now.
I'm going to run, like almost quite literally run off, so because I've got to go to Epsom and play to some people who wouldn't have enjoyed any of these records.
It's just as well that you got your iPod that you would normally run to as well, so you can really make use of all of it. So
I'm going to run to the hills.
And we're now going to have to switch from one Rob to another Rob on the phone. We've got a different Rob, so it's pretty confusing for everybody. Ha 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 ha. Hello, Rob. You all right?
Hello.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thank you.
Don't you think it's hilarious that you and Rob have the same name?
Yes, but he's probably funnier than me.
Do you reckon? Well, there's no pressure to be funny on this, mate. You don't have to. Don't worry about that. You don't have to be funny. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, you don't have to do any gags. What have you done today, Rob?
Bought two pairs of boots and a bandana.
Mate, if you think that's not funny, I've got a very funny image in my head right now of you wearing boots and a bandana, mate. What does a bandana look like?
It's a black one. Nice. I look like I don't know who I look like. I look like a bit of a dick, to be honest.
Well, that's like, well, why did you have to buy it for anything in particular?
No, I just fancied it. It was a bit of an impulse buy.
You don't sound like, if you don't mind me saying, Rob, you don't sound like the kind of man who would normally wear a bandana. You know, you don't sound like a tough guy.
I'm not wearing it like a cowboy or a gangster. I'm wearing it of like a headband.
Like a headband? That's still pretty tough. I mean, it doesn't sound like what I would imagine. Okay, well, that's pretty cool. And like, what's the rest of your get-up like? What's your fashion sense? What else would you be wearing normally?
I've got four pairs of jeans in my wardrobe, and they're all black.
Great. So you're quite you into metal and stuff. Is that what we're going to get on your iPod today?
You might do, but I've got quite what's the word that Rob couldn't remember before.
Eclectic? I don't know. You're quite eclectic, your iPod. Okay.
There could be some Mark Bolan on there and David Bowie.
Okay. And you like, do you like metal as well?
I do like metal music.
Have you got a favourite metal band?
System of a Down.
Ah, nice one. Very good. In my opinion, I think their Hypnotize album is very underrated in terms of, like, I thought it would have broken through to the mainstream a bit more. I thought it was a very good pop album. Would you agree with that?
But I do think that Toxicity was probably the mainstream one.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that actually got most mainstream success, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, nice one, mate. Well, I'm afraid, because we're running out of time, we've got time for one song from your... So it's all hanging on one song on your iPod.
Okay.
For you. So let's see, Rob, let's see what it throws up. Fingers crossed. Here we go. Spanish Bonds by The Clash on FUBAR from our listener Rob's iTunes. Rob, you must be pretty chuffed there. That's a brilliant song.
I think I have won.
Yeah, there, declaring his victory. Like, I was picturing you bopping to that, wearing a bandana, mate, and absolutely loving it.
I was doing that.
Did you tie a bandana on? As it started playing, you're like, yes, and started just tying that bandana around your head, grooving away. Oh, nice one, mate. Any nice plans for the season?
It's my nan's birthday, so we're going for a meal.
Well, mate, leave that bandana at home, because that's not appropriate for your nan's birthday. I don't think you should wear that to the meal. What are you going to wear at the meal?
Shrek costume. I've got to play Shrek in a few weeks in the production.
Have you, mate?
I might just.
What's the production called? Advertise it now before we go.
Shrek.
Where is it? Where is it? Give us all the details. Come on, man.
It's in Middleton.
Yep. What's the venue?
The Middleton Arena.
You're doing it in an arena?
I don't know. It's not real. I don't know. It says it's called Middleton Arena, but it's like a gym.
Okay. Oh, nice.
It's got a theatre in it.
Everyone head down to Middleton Arena and see Rob and Trick. Rob, thank you very much for phoning up. Have a lovely evening at your nan's meal.
Thank you. Cheers, have a lovely evening too.
Thanks, man. See you later.
See ya.
What a lovely episode. We're going to leave now on another song on Shuffle from my wonderful iPod. See you next time. Goodbye. Thanks to Rob Deering.